हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। Thank you so much, Krishna. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तजो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू रीड फ्रॉम द सिक्स्थ कैंटो. We are beginning a new chapter, the Narayana Kavacha Shield, chapter 8. So many of these verses have only translations, only a few have purports. So we'll mostly read and we'll discuss verse 12. Of course there is introduction and we will discuss some things from the verses themselves, but we will chant together verse 12. When we come to it. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायति गिरिम यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनचारणम्. The Narayana Kavacha Shield. Read the translations for the first verses. Verse text 1 and 2. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, "My Lord, kindly explain the Vishnu Mantra armor that protected King Indra and enabled him to conquer his enemies along with their carriers and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Please explain to me that Narayana armor by which King Indra achieved success in battle, conquering the enemies who were endeavoring to kill him." So this is text 1 and 2. Text 3. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "King Indra, the leader of the demigods, inquired about the armor known as Narayana Kavacha from Vishwarup, was engaged by the demigods as their priest. Please hear Vishwarup's reply with great attention." So this is where the Narayana Kavacha prayers are actually beginning. From verse... actually verse 8 onwards. Vishwarup said, If some form of fear arrives, one should first wash his hands and legs clean and then perform Achamana by chanting this mantra. Om apavitra pavitrova sarva vastham gato piva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabahaya abhyantara suchihi Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Then one should touch Kushagras and sit gravely and silently, facing north. When completely purified, one should touch the mantra composed of 8 syllables to the 8 parts of his body and touch the mantra composed of 12 syllables to his hands. Thus, in the following manner, he should bind himself with the Narayana coat of armor. First, while chanting the mantra composed of 8 syllables, Om Namo Narayanaya, beginning with the pranava, the syllable Om, one should touch his hands to 8 parts of his body, starting with the 2 feet and progressing systematically to the knees, thighs, abdomen, heart, chest, mouth, and head. Then one should chant the mantra in reverse, beginning from the last syllable Ya, while touching the parts of his body in the reverse order. These 2 processes are known as Utpatti Nyasa and Samhara Nyasa, respectively. So we have read till text 6, now text 7. Then one should chant the mantra composed of 12 syllables, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Preceding each syllable by the Omkara, one should place the syllables of the mantra on the tips of his fingers, beginning with the index finger of the right hand and concluding with the index finger of the left. The 4 remaining syllables should be placed on the joints of the thumbs. Okay. Text 8 to 10. One must then chant the mantra of 6 syllables, Om Vishnave Namaha. One should place the syllable Om on his heart, the syllable V on the top of his head, the syllable Ksha between his eyebrows, the syllable Na on his tuft of hair, Shikha, and the syllable Ve between his eyes. The chanter of the mantra should then place the syllable Na on all the joints of his body and meditate on the syllable Ma as being a weapon. He should thus become the perfect personification of the mantra. Thereafter, adding Visarga to the final syllable Ma, he should chant the mantra Maha Astraya Phat in all directions, beginning from the east. In this way, all directions will be bound by the protective armor of the mantra. Text 11. After finishing this chanting, one should think himself qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in 6 opulences and is worthy to be meditated upon. Text Narayana Kavacha starts from text 12, what we're reading today. Then one should chant the following protective prayer to Lord Narayana, the Narayana Kavacha, text 12. So we will chant this mantra. Om Harir Vidadhayan Mama Sarva Raksham. Yastangri Padma Patagendra Prishthe. Daran Charmasa Gadeshu Chapa. Pashan Dadhanu Astaguno Stabhu. Everybody can chant, others can chant. Om Harir Vidadhyan Mama Sarva Raksham. Stangra Padma Padavendra Prishthe. Daran Charmashu Gadeshu Chapa. Pashanda Dhano Staguna Bhavahu. Om Harir Vidadhyan Mama Sarva Raksham. Anyasthan Padma. daran charmashu adhyeshu shapa pashan dadhano astaguno astabahu om hare vidadhyan namasarva raksham Anyastangra Padma Kendra Prishthe Prashanda Dhanusta Gunusta Bahuhu Matajis, anyone? Om Hare Dadhyan Namasarva Raksham Yasthangra Padma Tagendra Prishthe Taran Charmashu Gadeshu Chapa Pashan Dadhano Staguno Stabahu Word to word transliteration. Om, O Lord, Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vidadhyat, may He bestow, Mama, my, Sarvaraksham, protection from all sides, Anyastha, placed, Angri Padmaha, whose lotus feet, Patagendra Prishthe, on the back of Garuda, the king of all birds, Dara, conchal, Ari, disc, Charma, shield, Ashi, sword, Gada, club, Ishu, arrows, chapa, bow, pashan, ropes, dadhanaha, holding, astha, ashta, possessing eight, gunaha, perfections, ashta, eight, bahuhu, arms. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, who sits on the back of the bird Garuda, touching him with his lotus feet, holds eight weapons, the conch shell, disc, shield, sword, club, arrows, bow and ropes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me at all times with his eight arms. He is all-powerful because he fully possesses the eight mystic powers, anima, lagima, etc. Purport. Thinking oneself one with the Supreme is called Ahangraho Upasana. Through Ahangraho Upasana, one does not become God, but he thinks of himself as qualitatively one with the Supreme. Understanding that as a spirit soul is equal in quality to the Supreme Soul, the way the water of a river is of the same nature as the water of the sea. One should meditate upon the Supreme Lord as described in this verse and seek His protection. The living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme. Consequently, their duty is to always seek the mercy of the Lord in order to be protected by Him in all circumstances. I'd also like to read the summary of the chapter. Chapter summary. This chapter describes how Indra, the king of heaven, was victorious over the soldiers of the demons, and it also describes the shield of the Vishnu mantra. To take protection from the shield, one must first touch kusha grass and wash one's mouth with Achmana mantras. One should observe silence and then place the 8-syllable Vishnu mantra on the parts of his body and place the 12-syllable mantras on his hands. The 8-syllable mantra is Om Namo Vasudevaya Narayanaya. This mantra should be distributed all over the front and back of the body. The 12-syllable mantra, which begins with the pranava omkara, is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. One syllable should be placed on each of the fingers and should be preceded by the pranava Omkara. Thereafter, one must chant Om Vishnave Namaha, which is a six-syllable mantra. One must progressively place the syllables of the mantra on the heart, the head, between the two eyebrows, on the shikha, and between the eyes. And then one should chant Ma Astraya Phat, and with this mantra protect himself from all directions. Na Devo Devam Archayet. One who has not risen to the level of a Deva cannot chant this mantra. According to this direction of the Shastra, one must think himself qualitatively non-different from the Supreme. After finishing this dedication, one must offer a prayer to the eight-armed Lord Vishnu, who sits on the shoulders of Garudadeva. One also has to think of the fish incarnation, Vamana, Kurma, Narasingha, Varaha, Parashuram, Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana, Naranarayana, Dattatreya, an empowered incarnation, Kapila, Sanat Kumara, Hayagriva, Narada Dev, the incarnation of a devotee, Dhanvantri, Rishabhadev, Yaknya, Balaram, Vyasadev, Buddha Dev, and Keshava. One should also think of Govinda, the master of Vrindavan, and one should think of Narayana, the master of the spiritual sky. One should think of Madhusudana, Tridhama, Madhava, Rishikesha, Padmanabha, Janardana, Damodara, and Vishveshwara, as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Krishna. After offering prayers to the Lord's personal expansions, known as the Swa-Amsha and Shakti-Avisha avatars, one should pray to the weapons of Lord Narayana, such as the Sudarshana, Gada, Shankha, Khadga, and Bow. After explaining this process, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit how Vishwarup, the brother of Ritrasura, described the glories of the Narayana Kavacha to Indra. Hare Krishna. Just taking a step back. So here we are in chapter 8 of the 6th canto. So what has most recently transpired is that Indra, the demigod Indra, he offends his spiritual master Brihaspati and thus loses his shelter. But at the request of Lord Brahma, then he immediately approaches Vishwarup. So we were discussing last time how it's so important somehow or the other, either because of our wrongdoing, or sometimes accidents happen even in the spiritual world, spiritual realm. Those that we're taking shelter of, if somehow they stray away, it becomes our responsibility to immediately, you know, reinstate ourselves. So Indra, he realizes his mistake, and then he goes to Brahma, and then immediately Lord Brahma, he asks him to take shelter of Vishwarup. And you have read all these things already. And he was chosen, Vishwarup was chosen perfectly according to what Indra was ready for at the time. So we also discussed how there are different levels of teachers and spiritual masters. So he was chosen, he chose Vishwarup, Brahma, and he said, you take shelter of him and he'll fulfill your desires. And Indra, being obedient to Lord Brahma, he immediately went to Vishwarup and he took his shelter and he expressed his desire. This is what I want. He didn't say, I want Krishna Prema. He just wanted to regain his kingdom back. So he approached Vishwarup. And Vishwarup was qualified to give that. And as a part of the procedure of regaining the kingdom is this Narayana Kavacha mantra. So before he engages in battle again with the demons, you know, who have usurped his kingdom, he is given this Narayana Kavacha mantra. So this is the context of this chapter. So now, so when we read this chapter, one may wonder Wow, I mean, do I have to do all these things? But of course, so we should be, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, you know, the Yuga Dharma is Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Na Asti Eva, Na Asti Eva, Na Asti Eva, Katiranyatha. So the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is completely sufficient. But of course, one of the offenses against the holy names is to blaspheme Vedic literature or literature in persons of the Vedic version. So these Narayana Kavacha mantras, they are actually glorifying Lord Narayana, and they are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whether we chant the Narayana Kavacha mantras or not, we should not have any misconceptions about the Narayana Kavacha mantra. So just a word of caution, because while we glorify, the exclusive position of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in our life, we should be careful to not, minimize other bona fide, mantras that are there. That's one important point. And then as I was reading this section, I was appreciating our acharyas. So all the Vedic scriptures, the acharyas, they give us the essence of the Vedic scriptures. And our Goswamis, they've extracted things from the Bhagavat Marga, and they've extracted things from the Pancharatra Vidhi. And so every morning, one of the things that we do, or actually whenever we take a bath, but specifically every morning after we take a bath, we apply tilak on all parts of our body, 12 parts of our body. So Prabhupada was asked several times, what is this tilak? So he would explain that this body is a temple of God. And just like how a temple of God is decorated, at the top of the temple or the church, there is a steeple. So similarly, knowing that the soul and the super soul are residing within the body, and that this body is a temple of God, so we decorate the body, different places, with a sacred tilak, sacred clay from the river Ganges. So everything is, significant. The tilak, there's a whole pastime, Gopi Chandan. Not get into that. Gopi Chandan we apply. And then another thing that we do is also while chanting, while applying the tilak, Prabhupada explained that the most important thing while chanting the mantra is actually reciting of the mantras. Like here when we apply Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. So there are 12 parts of the body we apply tilak. So Prabhupada explained that this is like also like an armor. We're also requesting the Supreme Lord to protect us. So this simple, one can say, this very intricate and complicated, as we read the verses, our head will spin basically when we try to chant this, six syllable mantra in this way, and then the eight syllable mantra and the 12 syllable mantra, especially for those of us in the Kali Yuga, it's very rare, to do this. For some devotees, they are qualified and they may do these things, but most of us are unable to. So the simple, way in which Srila Prabhupada has given this one, I mean, this is my understanding. I'm sure that he had some other purpose as well. But by applying the tilak to the 12 places in the body, whenever we take a bath, and then chanting the appropriate mantras, so we are invoking the Supreme Lord's names. That is what creates auspiciousness. So sometimes we hear, that's why. Even if, let's say, one doesn't have Gopi Chandan, then what does one do? So we hear, well, we should just apply, tilak with water. Okay. But so we are so caught up in the externals, but they say, well, nobody will see it. It doesn't matter whether anybody can see the tilak or not. If one has faith in the chanting of the holy names, then one applies with water Om Keshavaya Namah. Sometimes it may not be appropriate. Sometimes, I mean, there are circumstances where we may not be able to wear tilak externally, but we should still apply tilak with the water, chanting the different names of the Lord, invoking their protection. So that's one. Srimad Bhagavatam, there are verses, many verses glorifying, you know, the glories of the holy name. In fact, one of the first verses in the second canto, which Sukadeva Goswami is beginning to speak, he is talking about Harinam Anukirtanam 2.1.11. I don't memorize, I don't know the verse by heart, but it's one of the very important verses where he's sharing that, and the refrain is Akuto Bhayam. The word Akuto Bhayam also comes in that verse. That one who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord's holy names and the process of devotional service, whether he is completely pure or he has material desires, he will come to a position of fearlessness. And there are many stories the devotees have shared, you know, on Sankirtan. I'll share a few. How the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in our case, how it has specifically protected them. So one time, some devotees were going on Sankirtan. I've heard these stories, I've not experienced them personally. So they were going on Sankirtan in the New York, you know, subway stations. And so usually on Sankirtan you go as a group. And so they were coming back. So they had all day they were out on Sankirtan, and they were coming back from Sankirtan. And so this one Brahmachari who had all the Lakshmi from the day, somehow he, you know, split up from the group. All the devotees, they went to the one side of the station, taking a train, going uptown or whatever. And this gentleman was somehow on the other side of the station, going, you know, downtown. And so he was carrying this money pouch, and, you know, he was in a blissful, you know, space. But then he saw that none of the devotees were with him. Anyway, he didn't think too much of it. But all of a sudden somebody, you know, he came, and then he put a gun, basically, you know, on his body. And he said, you know, whatever you have, you know, the money, I want it. And all the other devotees that were on the other side, they were wondering where this gentleman was. And there were trains going either way and so on and so forth. There was a lot of noise. And all of a sudden they heard, you know, at the top of his lungs, he started, you know, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I will not imitate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like that, he started, you know, screaming literally. And this guy who had the gun, he got scared. And he just ran away, basically. And then the devotees were wondering what happened. So then he came back and he told them the story. So that was nice, but stay with the group. That's one. And then some of the pastimes, again in Central Park, New York, devotees on Sankirtan distributing books. And as it happens many times with us, some of the people were sort of straggling behind. And one of them happened to be a Mataji. So she was, you know, straggling behind. And so there were some, you know, rowdy, unscrupulous, lusty people in the Central Park. And so all of a sudden, he jumped out of a bush or something, and he got hold of this Mataji. And then he was trying to, you know, pull her into a secret place and do whatever he wanted to do. And then she started, you know, chanting at the top of her lungs, Namaste Narasinghaya prayers. So, and then again, you know, this gentleman was, you know, not gentleman, I guess, this ruffian, he was bewildered, you know, so what's happening? And then he got scared, and then he let her go, basically. So there have been instances, we may not have had such personal experiences ourselves, you know, but how the chanting of the holy name, how it protects us and even those around us. You know, there are examples from scriptures as well. Draupadi, when she was in the assembly, she was being disrobed. You know, she was trying to fight with all her strength. But then at some point in her, some point in that Leela, she takes shelter, exclusive shelter of Krishna, and she calls out to Krishna. And then Krishna, he comes protecting. And so many, many pastimes. Gajendra Moksha, Gajendra, in this intense struggle with the crocodile, and then he starts to offer prayers to Gajendra. Very famous prayers again, seeking protection of the Lord. And the Lord, Supreme Lord, he comes. Gan Garuda. So the holy names of the Lord, they are feared, even by fear personified. This text starts with this. I'm trying to find that verse. There are so many verses. Vishwaroop said, if some form of fear arrives, one should first wash his hands and legs. Clean, and then perform ashvana. So fear, unless one is on the transcendental platform, one is beyond the realms of duality, fear is a concomitant part of our life. Without getting into the details, our fears could be very small. Our fears could be about small things. They could be about big things. But fearlessness is not something that is attained, you know, overnight. It's a gradual cultivation, because it requires us to come out of the bodily conception of life. It requires us to come out of duality, to come to the stage of fearlessness. So it's a process. So while we are in the process, we have to take shelter of the process of devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy names. That's what the Acharyas are recommending. Now, something specific about this verse, I'm going to talk about text 12. Thinking oneself one with the Supreme is called Ahangra Upasana. Through Ahangra Upasana, one does not become God, but he thinks of himself as qualitatively one with the Supreme. Understanding that as a spirit soul, understanding that he is a spirit soul, he is equal to, in quality, the Supreme Soul, the way the water of a river is of the same nature as the water of the sea, one should meditate upon the Supreme Lord, as described in this verse, and seek his protection. The living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme. Consequently, their duty is to always seek the mercy of the Lord in order to be protected by him in all circumstances. So this can be confusing, bewildering. So you can look up Sahangraha Upasana. It is there in several places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita also it is mentioned. So the idea is, of this upasana, is to understand not how some of the people understand that I am one with the Supreme Lord, I am equal to the Supreme Lord, but understanding that I am spiritual in nature. The Supreme Lord is spiritual in nature, I am also spiritual in nature. So Prabhupada explained to us that self-realization and God realization, they happen simultaneously in this process of Krishna consciousness. So this Ahangraha Upasana, it doesn't mean that I am equal to God. Qualitatively, I am equal to God. I am spiritual in nature. Krishna is also spiritual. I am also spiritual. I am not the body. But quantitatively, the Supreme Lord is great and I am tiny. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning at the end. So the simple process of devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name, it awakens again that nature. That actually I am a servant of Krishna. I am a spirit soul and I am a servant of Krishna, like in the verses there. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Savavritya. That there is only one Ishvara, Krishna, and everybody else is a servant. Or Jivira Swarupa Hoya, Krishna Nitya Das. That the Swarupa of a Jiva, the constitutional position of a living entity, is that he is a servant of Krishna. So the goal of our Hare Krishna chanting, as many people ask, what is the goal of your chanting? Are you trying to become God? No, you're trying to become the servant of God. That is our position, but we have forgotten it. So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra Prabhupada explained, the simple meaning of it is, hey Srimati Radharani, the energy of Krishna, please again engage me in the service of your Lord, Sri Krishna. I have abandoned that position, I have forgotten the position, but please again engage me in that position. So the goal of process, the goal of devotional service is devotional service. Right now it is Vidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And as we become purified, then the realms of devotional service are different. You know, Ragatmika, Raganuga Bhakti, Ragatmika Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prami Bhakti. But the goal is devotional service. Even when we go back to the spiritual world, Prabhupada explains, that's the goal of the Vaishnava. And the training continues, eternally it continues. In this realm we are getting trained. And in the eternal realm also, the training continues. So the so we should have a clear understanding of that. That our goal is to not become God, but our goal is to become the servant of God. And this process of devotional service, it is helping us. So one of the things that we have to seek protection. You know, is from all these misconceptions that, you know, we may have accumulated, you know, either by hearing or from our own experience. So we should seek protection from the Supreme Lord that He can annihilate, you know, all such misconceptions that we have. Because actually the enemies are not outside. We think the enemies are outside. But the enemies of the living entity, the anarthas, they are in the heart. So we seek protection from our own anarthas. That's why the most appropriate prayer is to pray to Lord Narasimhadev, like, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Like how you removed, how you annihilated Hiranyakashipu. Similarly, you annihilate in the Hiranyakashipu-like, you know, mentality from my heart. Because these anarthas, they are actually obstacles in the path of my devotional service. So devotional service is the means to establish, re-establish a relationship with Krishna. But these anarthas are coming in the way. So to remove these anarthas, that's an appropriate prayer to Narasimhadev. To pray to Narasimhadev, to remove these obstacles, the anarthas from our heart, so we can practice devotional service in an unmotivated, uninterrupted way and thereby re-establish a relationship with the Lord. So this Narayana Kavacha, one can say, I mean, the basic understanding, Krishna Consciousness 101, is we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So in a way there is no question of seeking protection for the body. In and of itself, when we understand that the body is an important vessel for devotional service and we pray for its protection, because it's like a boat. If there are holes in the boat, then we cannot cross the ocean. So we can seek protection from the Lord for our body because it is an agent of our devotional service. Not so that we don't come to any harm or things like that. So we seek protection Firstly, we are not the body, so then one can, so obviously we are not going to seek protection for the body. So this is a deep topic, protection. What is the protection? So we are seeking protection for our devotional service. And then, of course, in everything connected to devotional service, also we want to seek protection for. So this human body is a, you know, especially a very important, I mean, human body is a rare gift to perform devotional service. So we take good care of it and we seek for the protection of it so we can perform our devotional service. That. So any comments or discussion so far from what I've spoken? Anybody would like to add anything? Luke Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Just on this last point you were mentioning, the value of the human form of life and the necessity for taking great care with the body, to use it as a vehicle for self-realization. We also, I remember hearing examples of devotees, usually in more advanced stages, apparently kind of neglecting their body or just kind of showing this mood of like neglect for the body, because after all it is just like a material thing, and even so it's sort of difficult to take both points of view and try to accommodate both points of view. Could you elaborate on that? Was my question clear enough?
Okay. Are you referring to devotees like Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj? Is one example.
Yeah, and also I remember hearing, that's one example. Also, Parikshit Maharaj, but I guess his example is a little bit unique because he was cursed to die in a certain period of time. Of course, all of us have to die in a certain period of time, and none of us really know when that time will be. Maybe it isn't 7 days. So maybe Parikshit Maharaj also is an okay example. And I remember hearing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur later in his life said something like, if we shall quit the body, physical fitness without Hari Bhajan is far inferior to physical illness with Hari Bhajan. But I think this quote came later in his life also, so that's perhaps a point to consider. But anyway, just statements like this, examples like these examples, alongside this also very valid point, you know, that we must cherish this gift of the human form of life. And
well, Prabhupada explained in many of his purports that one should take care of the body and soul. Right? Many places he mentions this actually. And it requires honesty, self-honesty. I mean, self-honesty is required for anything. That's one thing. Then also, it also depends on the adhikar, the realization that one has as to how one acts. So one should stay within one's adhikar. Like we cannot imitate Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj or Billo Mangal Thakur, I mean, just poking our eyes out because, yeah. So they are on another platform. The important thing, as you're saying, their Hari Bhajan was not checked. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj's Hari Bhajan was not checked because he could not see. Nothing stopped him. Ahetuki apratihata. So there is one realm, because there are these material senses. But then beneath these material senses are the para indriyas, the spiritual senses. And scriptures talk about this, that the real devotional service is actually done through the para indriyas. So one can make a claim for that as well, but we cannot, at least in our stage of devotional service, because those para indriyas have not been, you know, awakened, have not been ignited. Srila Prabhupada was himself a great example. I mean, he did both, as you're saying. He did both. He knew that, you know, so many parts of his body were not functioning. And that's why it was, he took so much, you know, the massages, the morning walks, you know, his diet, he took it very, very seriously, because he wanted to give every ounce of himself to Krishna. You know the famous story, one time, Srila, very rarely Prabhupada was not able to, you know, translate in the night. And one time, his pain was so intense that he was, you know, he called out to his servant in the middle of the night, and he was literally in tears. And he's saying, I can't, you know, bear the pain. And he said, actually, that the pain is so intense that I'm not able to do my service. It's affecting my service. In a way, he was not bothered by the pain by itself, but it was impeding his service. So he was very, very concerned that. So he took care, he took good care, and then it said sometimes, you know, Prabhupada, I've heard, he would even, you know, point to his body, and he says, this is becoming an old rag, should give it up, like that. So the pure devotees, you know, on the platform, they are aloof. They can clearly see the distinction between the body and the soul. Yeah, this is a dilemma that I have. So we should understand our adhikar. Since I come from the field of psychology, what also happens sometimes is we have, at least in our cases, some of our cases, we are entangled, we could be entangled with some members of our family system who have ill health. And so actually we are following them. Out of blind love, we are following them. And so we neglect our bodies, basically. And now we also have a philosophy, well, that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So this body is not so important after all. So it's not actually, we are not acting on, it's not a realization that we have, but it's actually an entanglement that we are not even aware of. So that happens quite a lot. Illnesses, you know, of course they say, you know, genetic illnesses and so on and so forth. But many of these illnesses, they are generational, because we are entangled, we are loyal to some members of our family system, and we are following them. So individually, we all have to have a sense of what's happening. Another thing is, Prabhupada also, you know, approved some simple, you know, simple things that will take care of our body. You know, as you said, it's not like, you know, we become a fitness buff. we spend like 3 hours in the gym or something. But something very simple, you have to find, like swimming, because I can't swim, but swimming here is not so easy. But in the Vedic times, where there are rivers and all, if you see all the Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya's time, the holy rivers are flowing. So they would take a bath in the Ganges, like that. So there are some certain simple things that one can take care of, his body. Again, I think a holistic approach, I don't want to become that class, but there are certain things, simple things, like acupressure, acupuncture. So most of it is you do it yourself. It doesn't cost you anything, that. And you can keep your body perfectly fit. I'm also learning some of these things. But studies have shown that some of these intense, passionate exercises that one may do, they also do a lot of harm to one's body. But there are other sort of a sattvika things that one can do, which will keep the body and soul together. Anybody want to add anything, Chandra?
I'll start from where you ended. Certain intense, passionate activities, it also depends on, even if the so-called sattvic activities, one should know with what attitude or frame of mind one is performing. So it may be the simple, let's say, sattvic act of walking.
Yeah.
But if the consciousness behind that is not sattvic as well, the activity itself becomes passionate. So there's a reason why one should be clear why one is doing something. And if the reason is that, as you were explaining, this body is a vessel for the soul, and I'd like to have it fit so I can serve properly. I don't have to interrupt my service every time because of health reasons, or however, then that's very nice. At the same time, one should not become enamored by the fitness of the body. Then there are circumstances. As we say, desha kala patra, time, place, and when we have a particular responsibility, during those times, we do neglect the body because something has to be done. We've been bestowed or we've been ordered to carry out a particular service. Others are depending on us for that service to happen. So we push the body beyond its limits and we neglect its urges. But once that responsibility has been taken care of, to take care of the body is also responsibility, so that further service can be done. So it does require a little mature consideration. Yeah. And the third aspect is sometimes we do get a little carried away when we hear about the great personalities like the six Goswamis or Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Definitely, it's so awe-inspiring that in the book, The Six Goswamis of Vrindavan, it is described that they never ate anything. They didn't sleep at all. And Satyaraj Prabhu writes, the body fasted, but the soul feasted. And we take that so literally. I mean, in their case, yes, it is literally true. We try to do the same thing, or in some sense of way the same thing, that it hurts us. So our soul feasts. We can follow the same principle that we don't overeat and all of those things. And we feast the soul by service. And when Bhakta Luke was asking the question, my first response was before you spent, I was going through it in my mind. We do take certain statements of the acharyas, most of the times, according to what we like. So when we like to push the body beyond its limits, we do resonate with statements like those. And when our body does hurt or something, then we will find those statements from the acharyas. We'll take and they resonate with us saying, you know, Prabhupada said, or Prabhupada quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur, health, sadhana, service, in that order. So oftentimes, we do tend to resonate with what we're actually looking for. So some people tend to gravitate to one set of instructions, others gravitate to another set of instructions. And it depends on that moment what gives them strength in Krishna consciousness. So a few days later, if Bhakta Luke comes and tells me, you know, my body is very tired, and I've been reading Bhaktisiddhanta said, take care of your body, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, at that moment, that's what gives strength. So both are okay, both are valid. And the third is, these things should be done in consultation. Otherwise, we have a tendency to pick and choose as we like. Well, those are some.
Thank you. No. Anything else? Sid. Yeah.
You were talking of some Sankirtan stories. One story I heard from devotees and from the person himself, Tamohara Prabhu. So Tamohara Prabhu, disciple of Prabhupada, when he met the devotees after he was married, and he and his wife would spend hours and hours distributing Back to Godhead magazines in Washington, D.C. area. One such night, he had spent the whole day distributing books, Back to Godhead magazines, at a traffic intersection. And at the end of the day, had collected $30. Because they would take a quarter for every Back to Godhead magazine or something. So that was his whole day of Sankirtan collections, after his, and he was tired. And one man drove up, or walked up to him and said, hey, I see that you've been out here all day. Do you also take donations like clothing and things like that? And he said, yeah, why not? He thought the devotees can use some clothing or shoes and socks, things like that. Sure, sure, why not? He said, all right, my car's parked at the lot there. Just follow me, I'll give it to you. So he follows him, and this person's car is parked at the very last space in the, almost like an abandoned lot. And Tamohara Prabhu, in his, I guess, innocence, just walked up to him. This guy opens the trunk of the car and pulls out a gun and holds it, you know, point blank range, you know, just right in front of him. Says, I've been noticing you've been collecting money all day. You must have a lot of it. Empty your pockets. And he had $30. So he was emptying his pockets to him, and his mind went to, Narsingadev protects everyone. So he started loudly calling Narsingadev's name. Narsingadev, Narsingadev. So this guy said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And he just kept on. And then it dawned on him that Prabhupada told us not just that we protect ourselves, we also preach to others. So he began to preach to this guy. Why are you doing this? You know, if you were to shoot me or something, you'll get severe karmic reactions. So the man was really flustered. And he said, you shut up, otherwise I'm going to pull this trigger. And he actually pulled the trigger. While he was shouting, the Tamohara Prabhu shouting Narsingadev's names, he pulled the trigger and the bullet did not come out. And he knew, the gun was loaded. And he said, what? I had just loaded this earlier. It's a loaded gun. He pulled the trigger. The bullet did not come out. And suddenly his friends showed up and said, hey, what are you doing? Come on and don't cause any problems. So this guy jumps into the car and goes away. And he was experiencing that calling out Narsingadev's name, fully loaded gun, did not fire. So he was feeling the great protection of Lord Narsingadev.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
So I hope that encourages devotees to go on Sankirtan, not discourages. Okay. Anything else? So we didn't get into all the details of the Narayana Kavasha prayers. Or the preparation for chanting the prayers. The prayers have not yet started yet. But as I said, some of these things are there in our practices. Some of these things are there in our Gayatri practices. Some of these things are there in our, even those that have not taken Harinam Diksha. So these things are being taught in our movement. Namaste Narsingadev prayers. Prabhupada especially mentioned, that devotees should pray to him for protection. But as I said, these are wonderful prayers. If somebody is inspired, somebody has a tendency, the nature to learn, memorize these prayers. One should. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisance.